Welcome to the Trader's Handbook, a limited podcast series brought to you by IG in partnership with your host, The Finance Ghost. Over the course of our upcoming episodes, we are delving deep into the world of trading, helping both novice and seasoned traders alike navigate this exciting field. Join us as we unravel the intricate strategies and insights that define this dynamic landscape and the beautiful puzzle that is the markets. IG Markets South Africa is an authorized financial services and over-the-counter derivatives product provider. CFD losses can exceed your deposits. Welcome to episode 6 of the Trader's Handbook, and thank you for making time for us in your busy week. This is a great podcast series that I'm collaborating on with IG Markets South Africa. As ever, Sean Murison of IG is here with us to share his endless insights into trading. And I must say, I have already learned a lot, actually. And the results are starting to show in my demo account, although it does seem to depend on when I open it. Some days look better than others, but welcome to trading. Anyway, perhaps more on that later. Welcome, Sean. And you must be pretty excited to talk about some of the topics we've got lined up today, like technicals and trading signals. I mean, this is very much your wheelhouse, isn't it?
Yes. Great to be here again. And that, yeah, it's my favorite thing to talk about. Obviously, technical analysis is something that I do believe in and something I employ in my personal trading. And obviously, we talk a lot about. So, yeah, excited about this one.
Fantastic. Yeah, I know you had a rough morning of traffic following the trend of people driving to work. So some of this trend following is definitely a bit more fun. And I think let's get straight into it. You know, I've certainly learned over the past couple of months that trading is actually very different to investing. I obviously knew this to some extent, but I think you have to actually experience it to know for sure. And that's why the demo account is just so important. And we keep encouraging people to open one and give it a bash themselves, because you really need to see this stuff play out real time. You know, the strategies are different. And speaking of time, the time horizons are really different. My background is very much one of investing, not trading. So this is a new skill for me. And investing is a much longer time horizon than trading. And this means that being tactically correct seems to be more important, actually, than getting things strategically right over the long term. So I'll give one recent example from my demo account. I took that advice of actually focusing more on what the trend looks like and a little bit less on, you know, what do I think this company looks like 10 years from now? And I went long Telkom in my demo account. Telkom, I don't think I would dream of being long in my investing account, genuinely. But the trade worked magnificently, to be honest. And the reason I did it is because I looked at the South African stocks that had already run in the sort of post-GNU euphoria. And Telkom was just like left behind. Honestly, nothing had happened in that share price. And it didn't really make sense to me. You know, if the whole of SA Inc. has moved up, like why wouldn't Telkom logically? So I had it on a watch list, and then I learned that, okay, you know, you ideally need to wait for some kind of confirmation that you're not the only person in the world who thinks this way. Doesn't help to be, you know, the only penguin in Antarctica who thinks something. You need to actually have a whole lot of other people believing much the same thing, because that's what makes a market move. And when I saw it start to have some positive momentum, you know, I went for it. And I'm bearish telcos in general. So that's why I say this is a good lesson for me in trading versus investing, because I wouldn't be long Telkom any other way. But it doesn't matter when you're trading. What you're looking for is what the chart is telling you and the momentum. And of course, the skill to develop in that space, or at least one of the skills, is to understand technical indicators, because that's how traders do a lot of the work that they do. I think it's actually quite useful for investors. I firmly believe that even for a dyed-in-the-wool long-term investor, it's very foolish to ignore some of what you can learn from traders, because why wouldn't you try and time your entry point a bit better? You know, why on earth not? And Sean, you said a few times before on this series that markets are basically a voting system, which is something that has definitely stuck with me. How does this actually relate to technical indicators? You know, why do these things actually work, and do they work?
Look, the subject is very, very broad, and I think there's some concepts that work better than other concepts. But when we talk about a voting system, if you are subscribing to the idea of technical analysis or using technical analysis, you know, the summation of those votes would essentially be the price. So to me, like when you're looking at technical analysis, your price is your best indication, in the first technical indicator that you should look at. Because if you think about it, very, very simply, price, that share price or that FX price, that commodity price is aggregating all the data out there. So, you know, rational investor, irrational investor, retail trader, asset manager, it's summarizing all that information and spitting out a result, and that result comes out in the price. So technical indicators are generally derived from price or volume, or price and volume. And so it makes sense as a starting point to look at that price information, because it will spit out a result and that will result in a trend. And then we'll say, okay, well, market's in an uptrend, and we can assess what we think we should do next. When we see prices turning, you know, from down to up, essentially, it's giving us an indication that, you know, selling pressure has reverted to buying pressure. It's a major turning point. So that's where, you know, buying has come into the market. So technical indicators, I think good technical analysis will reflect what's happening fundamentally in the market. And it's our job just to try gauge that general direction using these indicators and try hop on board.
And for those who aren't familiar with what technical indicators actually are, you know, fundamental analysis is very much about digging into the company's income statement, balance sheet, their outlook, a lot of what they are saying, looking at stuff like margin trends over the last couple of years. That's something that I always do. You know, what's happening with working capital. It's very much this deep dive type of thing. And obviously the depth varies. I mean, you get people who really do go and read as much of the financials as they can. I very much apply an 80-20 principle, because the amount of time it would take me to read every company to that level of depth is going to more than offset the benefit I would get from it, because time is the only truly finite resource in this world. Technical indicators, that's something completely different, actually. I mean, that is very much based on share price charts, right? It's looking at how the price is moving, not necessarily what the underlying company is actually doing. Is that like the best way to summarize, I guess, the difference between the two? Because not everyone will be familiar with this concept of technical indicators.
Yeah, it's summarizing everyone's assessment, essentially, and how they're taking action on that share. Because we, and rather than looking at those fundamentals that are driving price, we're looking at the actual price, the result of how people are interpreting those fundamentals.
And I think when I started to realize that technicals are well worth paying attention to, is, you know, you'd look at how a share price would move in relation to something like earnings coming out, or whatever the case may be. And the thing would move, you know, 3% or 6% or 5%. It's hard to make a case for why it was 3% or 6% or 5% on a fundamental level. But then you go look at the chart and you see, hang on, that's really interesting. You know, this thing dropped down to levels where I've seen this thing trading in the past year. And isn't it interesting how it seems to drop to those levels quite often and then turn higher? You know, and that in your world, Sean, would be a support level. And if you look at enough charts, you can kind of see a lot of this stuff is real. You know, it works. It's out there. I can see it. You know, and that's what makes it, I think, quite exciting. And I would imagine that some of the technical analysis then turns into this concept of trading signals. You know, and here we're starting to really dive into, I always get that horrible image in my head of the classic, you know, selling Forex trader kind of courses on the side of a Mercedes AMG, that horrible like Instagram kind of cliche. That's obviously not what this is. We're talking about proper trading here with a, you know, reputable, licensed, proper place. But let's get into trading signals and how these relate to technical indicators. Are these things actually related, or are they completely separate concepts?
Okay, so I think you're referring to IG's signals. Well, it used to be called signal centers, signals where there are trade ideas generated in the platform. So if you log into the IG platform, we have a whole lot of tools to help you analyze the market. So client sentiment indicators, which generally show you how clients are placed on a position, you know, majority long or majority short. We have to obviously, you know, fundamental data, you can access balance sheets, income statements, and that. And then technical analysis tools. Now, the signals function is short-term trade ideas, which are generated using technical analysis indicators. So those are third-party experts, and they look at different asset classes. So those trading signals are related to technical analysis or technical indicators.
Yeah, and the point is there's a lot of stuff sitting behind it, like client sentiment, a lot of that data, you know, that you guys have. And that's why I want to clearly differentiate this from some of the real nonsense you see on social media. You know, it's quite damaging, I think, to the entire industry when I see stuff like that. And I actually see less of it these days. I don't know if it's been clamped down on. I'm hoping it really has, because it's super damaging. But maybe it's just not so much on Twitter or X now, because it gets shut down. I'm sure there's still plenty of it going on Instagram and goodness knows where else, probably on TikTok. But I think that process in the background to create these trading signals must be, you know, pretty interesting, actually. Things like measuring the sentiment, etc. You know, who do they get sent to? How often is it on which devices? I mean, is this something that every IG client gets their hands on? Is this sort of ability to get these trading signals? Is it something that is ever made available to non-clients, for example?
Those trading signals are all generated under a signals tab on the RG trading platform. They are third-party research. Those signals are generated by companies PIA First and Auto Chartist, which are independent analysts with decades of market experience. So to get those ideas, you would need to log into the RG platform or, you know, on your computer or on your mobile device. But obviously, if you're not an account holder, you still have access to something like a demo account where you can still access that same data. And all the client sentiment data and all those other things are also still there, even if you don't have a trading account with us. So yeah, it is accessible. That would be via the demo account system.
And just on the subject of devices, I mean, what is the option to trade on a mobile on IG versus desktop, for example?
I mean, with an IG account, you can access the markets through your trading app, or you can download an app directly to your phone. I mean, it's the same account. It's just linked. It's just in different format. Obviously, on a laptop, you have access to a little bit more in terms of research and capabilities. You know, screen's bigger. You can do more on a computer than a small screen via a mobile device. But most things are accessible from either mobile or from the mobile app or from your trading platform on your computer.
Yeah, I'm also a little bit old school when it comes to screen size. And my mobile is still not something that I run my whole life on, unlike some people who I know do get that right.
Yeah, I mean, you can see that, you know, appetite for mobile trading has grown. I think more than half of transactions done through an IG trading account are now via mobile device rather than from an actual computer. So people like to be on the go. They like to watch their charts, watch their stocks, watch their portfolio from anywhere, you know, and don't have to be logged into your desktop.
Unbelievable. I'm imagining a lot of trading going on in the back of Ubers on the way to somewhere else and all sorts of things. Fascinating. So just one more question on these, a couple more questions on the trading signals. I don't think we're done with that quite yet. And one of them is in terms of just which markets these are actually available for. So is this across sort of the whole story of indices, Forex, stocks? I know my background is stocks, so I tend to frame everything in that way, which is actually not right. And that's something that, you know, as we go through the series, we'll need to actually lift the lid on some of the other stuff you can do, Forex, indices, etc. There's certainly more to life than single stocks. Shockingly for me.
And a lot of I think we should talk about some of those other products on, you know, on one of the future podcasts, because there are, you know, there are benefits to some of the other asset classes. You know, certainly cost would be one of them. But in terms of you know, what markets trading signals are available for, it's generally Forex, gold, oil, broader commodities, indices. There's not the whole suite of shares offered on that trading signals at this point in time. But myself and the other analysts do provide trading views on a number of companies. But that would be content created for the IG website, whether in video form or in written form.
Okay, perfect. And you know, the reality is no one can get every single trade right. Absolutely no one. It's one of my pet hates with when I see some of the really rubbish online content is it's nonsense. Like, no one gets every trade right. Anyone who's telling you they do is full on lying, because the markets are not that easy. But in terms of these trading signals, you know, it's I guess it's a hard question to answer, but how reliable are they really? You know, maybe you ask differently, like, what is a good win rate for a trader? And, you know, do these trading signals tend to drive those kind of percentage win rates? I know it's a tricky question, but I think it's important that people understand that just because you got a trading signal doesn't mean it's going to work every single time.
Yeah, look, past is not indicative of future. I mean, obviously, you read that everywhere. So the win rate can be misleading, because if you say that, it really depends on the type of strategy you're employing, right? So if you're trading and you have a high win rate, what are your losses, though, relative to the profits? You know, if you're taking small profits and running big losses, that system's still not going to be profitable, even if you're right more often than you're wrong. And on the flip side, you might have a situation where you only write 40% of the time, but you're making a hell of a lot more money when you're right than you're losing when you're wrong. So a system like that can still be profitable. So there's a lot of different ways to view it. But in terms of the trading signals that are offered on that platform, I think they vary in terms of success rate across different asset classes. But they're there to teach. And I always encourage people to do their own analysis first and use that as a cross-reference. And if you are interested in those signals, right, maybe just look at them on the asset classes that you're looking at trading, run them forward, compare them to your analysis, and see how you find them. You know, if you find that they're not working out as well relative to your approach to the market, then, well, you could do the opposite. So, but I'd say just track it if that is something of interest to you.
Yeah, it's quite funny to think of people just basically doing the opposite. I remember in my investment banking days, I spoke to someone on the desk and I remember them saying they had this favorite analyst because he was always wrong. And I was like, but that's terrible. It's like, no, it's great because he's always wrong. It's fine. Just be consistent. If you're always right, you're always wrong. I'm going to work with that. It's when you get it like mixed, then it gets a bit harder. So,
look, just on that, though, I mean, a lot of people say, well, like, I mean, we know the stats on retail traders and we post them on the website. We have those client sentiment wheels on the platform as well. And so when you look at those client sentiment wheels, some people say, well, you know, that can be seen as a contrarian indicator as well. You know, if the herd is going long, maybe it's time to go short on something. If the herd's going short, maybe it's time to go long. But that is obviously in the public domain. And obviously, IG is, you know, one of the biggest in the world. So in terms of the retail sentiment that we provide to our clients on that platform, it is quite an interesting indication.
It's also interesting. I mean, I've learned the hard way, as we've shared on previous shows, that contrarian short and contrarian long is not the same thing. So that's an interesting one. I think the contrarian longs, you've got a lot better chance of coming out okay. Contrarian short is proper risky stuff. So I would refer people actually to that pairs trading show that we did previously, which is a very good way to do, you know, take a short view on something, but to actually change that trade a bit by taking a long view on something else. That pairs trading show was cool. And I've actually done a pairs trade now. So we'll see how that one plays out. I think before we, you know, get into some of that and, you know, just conscious of time as well, I think let's get into some of these technical trading indicators. Now, obviously, we recognize it's not so straightforward on a podcast to talk about this stuff because ideally you need to see a chart in front of you. So what I'll do is I'll make sure that in the show notes, there are one or two examples, and then you can go find that on the website, go check it out. You'll be able to find that certainly on Ghostmail at the very least, and then go and check out IG Markets Academy type content around this stuff. I'll include that link as well, because that's really where you'll get the bulk of it. But I think we'll start slowly with the technical trading indicators, and we do need to cover them. And what I think we should cover first is maybe just the basics, like trend indicators as a nice place to start. Something like moving averages, for example. So I've seen shorter term ones like 20-day. I've seen longer term ones like 200-week moving averages. I mean, just work out how long 200 weeks is. That's a very long time worth of market data. And ultimately, you know, why are these things useful, Sean? I know they're useful because I've seen them referenced enough times and I've seen stocks behave in a certain way relative to those moving averages. Obviously, not every single time, but they do seem to be a pretty useful indicator. So how do these things actually work and why are they helpful?
Okay, so let's start off with the moving averages. Earlier on, I said, you know, everything, most technical indicators are derived from price activity, whether it's a share price or commodity price and that. And so when you look at a moving average, it's just smoothing out that price data. It's averaging out the price data. So if you looked at a 20-day moving average, it's an average of the last 20 days of share price data, which would be considered maybe a shorter term. If you're looking at a 200-day moving average, it's seen as a longer-term trend, sort of it's 200-day trend, which is probably considered a little bit long-term if you're looking at the short-term trading type environment. And just a simple application of that is just the way it would benefit is just to help assess what's happening in the market, what is the trend. And so price is above average. So price is above that moving average. So that trend is up. Price is below the average. So that trend is down. And so we make a habit of, you know, in technical analysis of trying to follow the general trend. And that's just one gauge that you can use to help assess that trend. Now, when you're talking about moving average crossovers, that's a little bit fancier here, and we add two moving averages to a chart, and we're looking for the shorter moving average to cross above that longer-term moving average. So let's say 50 above the 200, and say, well, those two trends online, it's a stronger signal that there's an uptrend in place. Coincidentally, that's actually a famous signal that 20 above the 50 is called the golden cross in technical analysis. It's supposed to be quite bullish for markets. And inversely, when that 50 crosses below that 200-day simple moving average, that's supposed to be a bearish signal, a negative signal for markets a longer term, which is referred to as the death cross. Now, for me, the way I'd use that is that, well, you know, those trends are aligned, price above average. I might not necessarily use, you know, that I know that trend is up, it might not be an indication for me to get in right now, but it's like, which side of the market should I be on when I get in? And I might use other technical tools like price levels or other indicators to time buy signals into an uptrend or time sell signals into a downtrend.
Yeah, the opposite of the golden cross, it's usually called the death cross. And, you know, maybe given where the PGM sector is at the moment, it should be a golden cross and a platinum cross on the way down, because PGMs have taken so much pain. You know, we can just keep the commodity theme in there. But these things are useful. And, you know, if you kind of see them play out on a chart, again, you've got to actually practice with the stuff. You've got to see it in the flesh. It's very, very hard to believe that, you know, just adding some kind of moving average to a stock price chart really helps you, but it does. You know, that is the reality. And practically speaking, how do traders actually do this? So for example, on the IG platform, can you go and add all of these moving averages to any stock price chart, or do you need to do it somewhere else as part of your analysis and then bring that through to executing a trade?
No, the moving averages, like all technical, a whole host of technical indicators are available on the IG platform. So it's just a matter of clicking on the indicator tab, adding it to your chart, and it obviously automatically computes that for you. You just need to change the settings. You know, maybe you prefer using a 200-day moving average. Change the setting to 200. Automated process. You can do it on the mobile. You can do it on the platform. Very, very easy.
Yeah, perfect. And that's where you start to see the stuff online, like people posting these very intricate charts. I mean, if you've kind of followed any of the good accounts on this, you know, you'll often see them post a chart where it's certainly not just a share price. It's often got a whole bunch of other lines on it. And if you've always wondered what those are, you know, there's various different lines it could be, but one of them is almost certainly going to be moving averages, because it is quite a commonly used technical indicator. It's got to be one of the most commonly used ones, right?
Yeah, and it's a very, very popular one is a 200-day moving average on a daily chart. There's a saying we have is that the bulls live above the 200-day moving average and the bears live below the 200-day moving average. It's just a simple filter for a longer-term view on the market in terms of which side of the market you should be on, not where you should be trading the market.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it goes back to that point about being contrarian. So if you are sitting above that average and you're feeling bearish, you've got to understand that you are doing something different to pretty much everyone else, and you need to be careful. It doesn't mean you're wrong. It just means you need to be careful. All goes down to risk weightings, right? So I think let's do one more technical analysis piece just to end the show, and that is the MACD, or the moving average convergence divergence. Now, this is starting to sound quite fancy, of course, and it uses moving averages and a histogram. So what we're just trying to show you here is that, you know, just drawing a basic 20-day is a very, very entry-level step into technical analysis. There really is a lot more that people can do. And again, you know, this is something that I saw on that Academy article, which I'll post the link to. But I think just high level, you know, this is a nice example of how fancy, I guess, some of the moving average analysis can get. And it's a nice place to end off and leave people wanting more, I think, in terms of how interesting this stuff is. So more or less an explanation of how MACD works. You know, what is the thinking behind this thing? Is it widely used? Is it a bit niche?
Okay, so the MACD is, you want to impress your friends, you could add it as a chart. There's a lot going on there. But like you said, MACD stands for Moving Average Convergence Divergence. And it's actually not that difficult when you, and complicated when you break it down. Moving Average Convergence Divergence. It's just actually showing you the relationship between multiple moving averages. And you'll see there's a zero line on that indicator. And when that the blue line, the MACD line, crosses above zero, it's saying that these two moving averages are crossing in a positive fashion. So the assumption there would be that the market's in a positive trend. When that blue line crosses below the zero line, it's saying that there's a negative cross of those two moving averages. And so bearish assumptions for the market. So just, you know, in the simplest of forms, MACD, moving average convergence divergence, is actually moving averages just represented differently on your chart. Instead of putting a moving average on the price, or overlaying it on the price, it's a separate indicator window at the bottom, but it is mathematical formulas, and it's a different representation of moving averages.
Yeah, well, now look, when we say MACD, it just makes me hungry. I think of the Big Mac Index, which is for purchasing power parity. Maybe the Golden Arches should be a technical indicator out there as well somewhere. Sean, I think it's really been a great show, and it's a very nice intro to just some of the concepts in technical analysis. Obviously, we're going to talk through more of them. I think we'll try and build it into different shows rather than having, you know, literally 25 minutes straight of technical analysis, but we'll see how it goes, because it can be quite hard to follow if you're not sitting there with the charts. And the last thing I just wanted to raise, I sort of alluded to it earlier, that I've done a pairs trade now, so we'll see how it works. I decided to go long Nedbank, short Standard Bank. So short the better, here comes my contrarian side. But again, in a pairs trade, you kind of need to be contrarian because you need a gap to close. A gap is there and you need it to kind of close. And Nedbank is sitting on, well, it was sitting on a single digit PE when I looked. I think it still is. You know, Standard Bank has enjoyed a better valuation. And a big part of the thesis is just the sheer amount of selling by Standard Bank directors recently. So, you know, that's not a technical indicator, but it is something that investors use a lot. And I think traders should look at as well is what are insiders doing? And you've obviously got to differentiate between someone just taking share options and bombing them into the market to pay their tax, or even just selling all of them. You know, that is a signal, yes, but I think it's when people have been hanging on to shares for a long time and they start letting them go. And it's at a time when other stuff looks a little bit worrying as well. That's a very nice indicator. You know, and some of Standard Bank's challenges include their China exposure at the moment, some of the African currencies they're exposed to. So let's see what happens. As I say, it's in my demo account. I'm going to see how it goes. It's one of those trades where, you know, you have to have a strong stomach, like so many, I guess. The first day I looked, it was thousands in the green. And then I looked again and it was in the red. But that's just how it goes. That's why you need to make sure your position sizing is correct and everything else. And that's why the demo account, I think, is just so important as a starting point for anyone. So I'll finish there and just refer people to go and open that demo account, give it a go, go back and enjoy the other shows in this series. There are a good few of them now. And Sean, as always, I look forward to doing the next one with you and we can see whether my pairs trade is working out or not. And we will no doubt also have a look at a bunch of other great things. But for now, I was happy to bank the telecom money. So thank you for teaching me something about the importance of following a trend in trading and putting some of your fundamental hats back in the cupboard. You're not trying to own this thing for 10 years. Sometimes you're trying to make a quick buck, literally, and move on. So, Sean, thank you very much for all the insights. And as I say, really looking forward to the next one.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
CFD losses can exceed your deposits. In our gorgeously diverse country, there really is a new reason to trade every day. Current affairs to political news can make the markets move and cause volatility, which can be advantageous to a trader. Diversify your portfolio by opening a trading account with IG and explore the possibilities of CFD trading, or practice your trading skills on an IG demo account.